Overdrive continues, brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, TSN 1050 up on TSN 2. We're live on the 14th tee, Oakdale Golf and Country Club, RBC Canadian Open. It's getting to that time where people are, they're just yelling. There's a lot of yelling. And yep.
What do you think you shoot if Rory's caddy comes up to you when Webby Simpson pulls out and says, we need a spotter on the bag for pace of play? You know how they do that? Sometimes they'll grab, like, the club professional.
Yeah.
And that happens at the Masters. It happens everywhere.
Absolutely.
They got to play with a spotter. So you're out there with the grappler and Rory and J-Rose. Just be on.
I have to play from the tips and everything, right?
Yes, you do. You have to do everything with a card, a pencil, and a paper. And you got to record everything. I want to know, and I want you to be dead honest with me.
Sure.
What is the number after 18 that you're writing on the scorecard?
And you, I can guess.
You know that when you look back, the 80-yard difference. So
I understand the difference.
Factor that in.
I have a number in my head. You guys
right.
want to answer? Give us.
I've got
give
a
me
number.
Your thoughts on what.
What
you
is
think
yours
it would be.
First?
98.
Thank you, Noodles. Very professional, and I think very educated.
I thought you would. I feel like you would battle
if you
to get under 100.
If you say anything under 100, I'm coming. You're going off this balcony because you know that I'm shooting over 100. Okay.
Okay.
So what
so
are
then maybe
you shooting?
Maybe I should revisit.
You
that
want to
then.
Already adjust?
Are you shooting over 100? Honest to God.
Yes.
Yeah, but
yes.
He's got the heart.
Of a rat.
When it comes to the, you know, playing with professional golfers. I saw last year. You saw me at the Pro-Am.
Back nine
at St. George's last year. That was phenomenal scoring.
The tips.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking tips.
Pressure, all of it.
People around.
Factor everything
okay,
in and give
so
me
then,
the number.
Let me try and be realistic.
With Rory McIlroy.
I understand that.
110.
You're going
12 higher then.
110. Do I have a 110? Do I have a 109? Do I have
a
109?
135, 135, 135.
Yours is a 135? Do you think I'd shoot 135?
I really do.
135.
You want to know the number? I'm being serious here. This is the number I had in my head.
125.
128.
Yeah.
I said 128 because I'll tell you.
I was way off.
You were way off, and I love the
fact
that
you have some respect.
You have a lot of time and respect for my golf game, but I would soil myself.
From the first tee on.
The first tee, I would be so nervous that McIlroy and Rose, I'm wasting their time. For start, I would understand that I'm wasting their time.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And having to watch you.
Also, I hit squirrely shots. I would hit somebody.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
I would hit somebody. And then that would completely.
That would rattle you.
Rattle me to a point where there's.
That's how Charles Barkley started with the nonsense. He hit someone and it got into his cranium.
Right.
And it was game over.
That's what would happen. I would hit somebody and it would be really, really
concerning. What happened to Tom Kite after he buried that fan?
I don't think Tommy Kite cared.
But he never, crashed.
He's a Hall of Fame player.
Tom Kite was just racking up money, man. He didn't care about other people.
But he didn't crash and burn or anything.
I don't recall him crashing and burning.
No. Yeah, Hall of Fame player, Tommy Kite.
Tommy
he won a U.S. Open.
He was a moneyless cat, that Tommy Kite. He loved making money on tour. He had the bad hat and the big goggles.
Yeah.
He just cruised around and put money on the board, man. He was. Because he won tournaments, clearly, but he was not a guy that, like, was consistently great. But it was always Tom Kite leading the money list. Tom Kite racking up cash.
Well, he was a big name, though.
Absolutely.
Like, me growing up, like, I remember Tom Kite.
Everyone knew Tommy Kite.
Yeah.
Like, if Tommy Kite was rolling through Oakdale in 1988, this place would be buzzing.
What?
For Tom Kite. Buzzing for Tom Kite.
Who's the guy who ended up wrestling the streaker in the roasted
Peter
turkey?
Peter Jacobson.
That should be reenacted every single year. A new player on tour has to play the role of Peter Jacobson tackling a naked guy running around the course.
He fought a barn door on the 18th green. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
We need to find out when that anniversary is. Like, if it's a 25th anniversary soon, you got to have a reenactment.
That's
Jacobson and the streaker.
You know what? This year, when the British Open is on, we're gonna call Jake and have him talk about it as a part of our British Open week, the barn door fight.
But do you think he does soul interviews on that? interaction alone.
I think he preferred to avoid that. But it was simply a that was a self-inflicted wound. He could have stepped aside and said, I don't need to be a hero here.
He dropped his putter and got in a three-point stance on the green. He did.
He activated hero mode.
With a naked guy running at him.
Yeah, there's got to be, like, you talk about immediate regret, right? You talk about, like, there, is that Monty in the background? What is Monty doing in there?
No, that's not Monty. He wouldn't have. That's two police officers and Jake behind them trying to wipe his hand off.
1985. July 1, 1985. We're coming up on 38 years.
July 21st, we're calling Peter Jacobson and getting him on the show.
That would be hilarious.
Put that back up. Is it Joe from the Bridge? I think Joe from the Bridge is, I don't know who's operating things back there. Let me read this, okay? July 21st, 1985. A streaker runs onto the 18th green at Royal St. George's during the final round of the Open and is famously tackled by Peter Jacobson. Quote, he streaked into my line and I got a little hot, so I tackled him, end quote. That is an outrageous decision. Like, yes, you're lying, but he's not wearing spikes. The guy's naked.
Yeah.
Dude.
Who cares if he's on your line?
It is.
Immediate regret for Jake.
Okay, so
that's a black bear over a barn door. Any day. Any day.
But is that all he's remembered for? Like, was he this amazing golfer?
Oh, yeah,
but
Peter Jacobson was a good player. He was really good.
As far as we're concerned, there's one reference point in his career.
That's
it. And it's the only one. Royal St. George's. That's a classy place, too. Some guy just starts running around bare-assed, and old Peter Jacobson says, enough is enough.
to the rescue.
Yeah, putting you in a tackle mode for Peter Jacobson. I love it. Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen, and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio tonight. All right, JD will join us around the table a little bit later this afternoon. James Duthie. Got our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. And we've got, again, this Golf Town giveaway.
Yeah.
$500
gift card. We're going to do that at some point this hour. We'll give you the cue to call. We'll let you know what the action is in terms of that. And we will get to that a little bit later this hour. But we're going to move some things around. We figured because we're out with the people, and a lot of people all day have been saying, Dear Hazy B,
yeah,
can you bring me into the fold here? Dear Hazy B, I have significant issues going on here, and I need your help. So we're going to move Dear Hazy B up. You guys ready to fire this
Let's
up?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something. There isn't.
She said looks aren't that important to her?
Dear Hazy B.
My God, I got a couple of words for you. You better get your act together.
You know the deal here, guys. We're at the golf course, and we are still continuing to help people.
That's right.
And, Hazy, yeah. I know back in the day you loved a Zaw. You loved a Zaw. I'm going to start with this one. Dear Hazy B, girlfriend and I got pizza last night, and there were 4 slices left. When I got home from work the next day, she ate them all. She says since she paid, she can do what she wants with it. I was preparing to propose this year, but should I gas her after these actions?
Listen, money can be very conflicting for people, right? Like, that's what sticks out here. I paid for it, so I'll do whatever I want.
I think it's more just...
I think it's principled, though, that you got to leave a slice for whoever it is, right? I mean, on that front.
Or shoot a text.
Or shoot a text. Just say, hey, heads up. Like, I understand what's coming. You're probably going to be hungry tonight. But I had some for lunch. I got home early. I had some for dinner. And it's gone. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. It's gone. I think a little bit of a common courtesy there needs to be in order there. But I don't think it's worthy of calling off the rest of your life. I don't think it's the end of the road.
I think it's a red flag and it's something to monitor going forward.
I will agree with that. I think it's worthy of a face-to-face conversation. It's worthy of a Peter Jacobson face-to-face conversation with something you don't want to address.
Right.
But you have to address, and sometimes you got to step up to the plate and say, listen, I understand you paid for it, but it's mi casa, su casa, right? I pay for a lot of wheels, too. I'm sure you can have the slice whenever you want.
Right.
And we got to be on the same page here that at least a straggler slice is sticking around for whoever needs it later in the evening. Has to happen.
Noodles, I know you're not a serious golfer yourself, but I think you could have the right opinion here on how to let a guy down.
Sure.
Dear Hazy B, friends and I play in a fundraiser four-man scram every September. That's a scramble where you take the best shots from everybody. Yep. We've only taken six of this guy's shots the last 5 years.
Ooh.
Six total. Last year he got blackout the night before and barely made it to the tee and forgot his clubs. He pays the team fee and is the sponsor every year.
Oh, yeah.
Gas him or let it ride?
Let it ride, and here's why.
He's paying.
Exactly. If I know, and I'm sure our groups are all the same, all the guys, they enjoy each other's company, you have a lot of fun, but there's somebody who takes care and organizes and pays and stuff like that, you're just going to have to live with it and just kind of go, that's that guy. Like, you're going to use one shot a year, basically, and he's going to get buckled every night. But he's paying for it. Like, it's his dime. I know you want – I can see you saying, take a lap.
See, this disappoints me. We just had a very similar conversation. Different context.
Right.
But, our previous patient, his future fiance said, I can do what I want because I paid for it. And my suggestion was that shouldn't fly. I think the same thing applies here. I think just because he pays for it doesn't mean he can act like a goon all the time. Like, I'm guessing these are all grown adults that have their own money that could probably chip in too.
Right.
But also, it's not about trying to embarrass the guy. It's not about trying to lose the funding necessarily. But it's a little pep talk. Hey, dude, keep it together to an extent. You know, and maybe hit a range before you jump on the bird so we can use a couple more of your golf shots.
It's about growing up a little bit.
Well, that's right.
Just being responsible in the boys' group.
I think it's totally understandable to have a gut check conversation. You don't want it to push too far past the limit. You don't want it to go over the cliff where this guy goes, fine, screw you guys. I'll take another three-pack with me and pay for everything.
Right.
But a responsible, respectful little.
The only thing is I guess back and forth. I would ask.
That would be my suggestion.
What type of cash are we throwing around here? Like, if he pays for everything.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Like,
are we talking about like a local tourney where he just pays?
Maybe the guy chips in $10,000 for the tourney.
Well, I don't think there's anything
wrong with saying, look, man, you're no good at golf. You like hanging out with the boys. Get a cart. Ask the club for a cart, and you're not playing next year. You're paying, but you're not playing.
That's never going to happen. He's going to play, but it's got to be get it together to an extent and don't be blackout all the time and make sure you make everything on time.
That's one for you. You went to Coppinwood and at Weston and Mad River, you start to understand the sanctity of the men's locker room, right?
Right.
Sure.
It's a nice place. You can shower up, clean up, whatever. Dear Hazy B, guy at my country club cleans his irons and wedges in the shower. After a round, makes a mess and gets dirt everywhere. I barely know him, but I can't put up with this behavior anymore. Do I mention something when we're both geared down in the shower or send an email?
I think it's mandatory email because there's a Peter Jacobson situation waiting to happen here where if he's not happy, he gets in your face. All of a sudden, there's a back and forth that can get really ugly really quickly. That is obscene behavior to bring your golf clubs into the shower publicly. Like that, I've never heard or seen anything.
So the guy's like literally washing his hair and then washing his clubs.
Basically, this guy believes his clubs are the most important possession he has.
I know, but when the guy's naked in the shower and he's cleaning his sand wedges, I think it's offside.
He's offside, but I also think it's not worth the confrontation in that situation. It's an email after, hey, pal, saw you down there. Don't think it's kosher to pull that kind of stuff off. Please have some respect for the other members. Snap out of it. Drop your bag where everyone else drops their bag before you get into the locker room and stop being a hero. Very simple stuff.
All right.
CC the GM if you have to.
Okay, we'll do one more and then we'll break and get to Duthie.
Sure.
This one is also relating to golf club behavior. Dear Hazy B, I've been known to floor it on men's night, and I mean floor it at the country club. In brackets, pick up the car the next day. That's a good job. my boss just joined and will be participating is participating as well. He is very professional and hasn't seen me like this before. Do I let the dogs out or tone it down going forward?
This is why Dear Hazy B
exists.
Yeah. This is the kind of conundrum we're talking about here, because this is worlds colliding.
Yeah,
and I think what you need to do here is you have to make up a determination. Do you believe your boss wants to hang out with you? Do you believe your boss feels like your personal life could factor into your professional life? Is it a job that you want to hold on for the long term? Because if it's a scenario where you think either your boss is cool enough to put up with it or you don't really want to be there anyway, you got to keep living your life privately. He joined the club after you did, right? He's on your turf now. You're going to have a great time. You're going to floor it. You're going to get after it. You're allowed to. Midweek, again, some guys have that in them. You got the dog in you that you can do that midweek. I am not personally one of those guys. Plus, the job that we have is just not conducive to it. I'm never at a men's night or anything like that. Can't happen. But if that's what you love to do, and in Canada, you get 6 months a year to do it. So the other 6 months on Wednesday night, you're at home sleeping. So the boss needs to take that into consideration. I suggest you keep living your life. I would say you floor it. If your boss has a problem with it, he could join somewhere else.
No kidding. Yeah. I think you got to warn him. You say, look, man, I keep it real at work. I'm professional, but this is my time to shine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to see some weird things in the next 2 months that I do on Wednesday nights. And if you don't like it, close your eyes and don't look. Yeah. Look away. There's nothing to see here.
Don't come to men's night.
We're all adults, too. That's what it is. You're
That's
an adult. You can be like,
floor it.
As long as you like what I'm like at work, don't have a problem with me.
All
I
that
do
matters.
My own
All
time.
That matters.
Yeah, the aftermath of a men's night. I have a buddy that like slept in his car one like because you got to be smart too, right?
Exactly.
Like it's like how am I getting home? I had a couple too many, and all right. The old shutdown in the car though is tough.
Yeah.
Like when the grounds crew showing up at 4:30 and they're like, "Look at this guy.
Yeah, he's passed
out. He's asleep."
Wow.
But hey, that's the mature move. That's
exactly.
The professional and safe move.
It
we
is.
Love it. All right, Golf Town has everything Dad would want for Father's Day with the biggest and best assortment of brands and products. Here's your chance to win a $500 Golf Town gift card for Dad. Call right now, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The 10th caller through will snag yourself an awesome Golf Town gift card. Caller number 10 right now at 416-870-1050 is getting a $500 Golf Town gift card. We love it. Golf Town has store-wide deals running now until Father's Day with fresh deals dropping every week, including buy one, get one 50% off apparel. Head to golftown.ca now to check out all of the Father's Day deals. Golf is in the air, right? We're up here at Oakdale, the Canadian Open. Golf is rocking up here in the country. Golf Town's on top of that. That's a big one, right?
That's
416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. All right, Game 3 of the Cup Final behind us. James Duthie will join us on that. James has been walking the grounds here at Oakdale. What does he make of Rory McIlroy making a charge? Tyrrell Hatton making a charge? And Corey Connors looking great. That and more still to come with JD. Our best bets later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, James back in action tonight. Minnesota in town. At the NBA Finals continuing, the Cup Final is now at 2-1. So Florida with a big one last night. Matthew Tkachuk scores late to tie it. Carter Verhaeghe scores it to win it. And Bobrovsky played outstanding. I mean, how many times have we said that throughout the playoff run? It seems to be basically the blueprint for the Panthers. Yeah. But now it's 2-1, and James Duthie joining us here around the table. Do you think we got a Cup Final now, JD, or where's your head at? Because it kind of felt like Vegas was going to run away with this thing.
I've always said, you know, there used to be like a cliche that we'd use. It was always pivotal game five. And it's game four.
Who used that?
I don't know. When I was a sportscaster, you always said pivotal game five. I don't agree whatsoever. Game four in a 2-1 series always is the biggest game. Well, obviously, there's deciding games, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Right.
And
sure.
So I guess I'm not willing to answer that until game four, which is a lame answer. But I thought it was over, you know. You know what the panel does? We sit there, we plan the whole. We were starting to talk about Vegas winning the Cup, one win away, and Bill Foley's crazy prediction coming true that they would win one in 6 years, and bam, Tkachuk does that. I hope we get something. Like, this Florida story's been so good that it would have sucked that it just kind of fizzled out with a four-game sweep or something like that. So I hope so. I mean, I think it's – they're 7-0 in OT now. This is the closest thing to – Like the 93 Habs, when they won 10, the 93 Habs lost the first, one of the first games in overtime, and then won 10 straight overtime games with Patrick Roy.
Right.
And that's kind of shades of what this story is with Bob playing the way he is and 7-0 in overtime games.
But there was nothing that, in watching that game, there was nothing that I felt like that Florida had the leg up.
Oh, I thought Vegas was a lot better than that last night.
And so you're right, a lot better. And then, okay, if it's going to even out on special teams, Florida's power play is 0 for the series. Like that, you can't be 0 for the series and expect to win a series where you look at Vegas' power play, and it's quite deadly. Like, it's just, it's, and all of a sudden, it's Florida. It's Tkachuk, 2 minutes left,
right,
and then back right back at it.
Like, yeah, it's just. But they've been doing that, it feels like, the whole run. Like, it must be magical to be a fan, because you look back on that L.A. run, when was that, in 2011, I guess, when they won their first cup, or 2012?
I think they won in 12 and 14.
Okay, so when they snuck in, I think they beat Vancouver in 5, and then it was gone. Mm-hmm. And there were close games, for sure, and there would have been heroics. But I remember watching that thinking, this is just a formality. Like, these guys are just simply the best team right now, and they're going to win.
Yeah.
Where with Florida, they have been on a 9 count like 5 times.
Yeah, on the mat.
And come flying up. Down 3-1 to Boston. You know, the manner in which they started the series against Carolina was incredible. Even the Leaf games, all the games were tight.
Yeah.
And the closing game, game 5, that's an OT winner.
Tkachuk, after the game, did the interview ringside and said, you know, that we knew we were going to win this game. We didn't know how. And usually I would just say that's something a guy says, right? Just something you say in a post. But I actually believed him. I believed him that, and probably because of what happened in that Boston series, they actually do believe. Like, sometimes when I hear guys say that, I don't think they really believe.
Yeah, exactly.
They're down, and quietly to themselves, they go, we're screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not as good as this
team.
We're
getting smoked tonight.
But I actually believe that they think they're going to win the cup, and as long as you have that, then you're all right.
Yeah, but it's just, it's so weird because I don't know if it's destiny, but it just seems like, you're right, you have that belief, but at some point, somebody's got to step up and do it. Like, you know, Bobrovsky, I thought, made some big saves to keep it at, 2-1, I think.
Yeah.
And then you get that late goal. And heading into overtime, I was like, they're going to win. Like, I felt like Florida was going to win that. Even though I kept thinking, if Marchessault scores again, because now he's got 13 goals. Like, would we all agree, is he the front runner?
He's the Vegas front runner.
You don't?
I guess so.
Is it Tkachuk or Bob, though?
I think Bob still wins it, win or lose?
I think he's back in the action, absolutely. I said before the series started, I thought if it won 6 or 7 games, Bob wins the Conn Smythe.
I think it's decided if Florida wins, it's decided in these next 3 games. Like, if Matthew Tkachuk has 2 more OT winners or something like that, then he starts to get hard to ignore.
He is hard to ignore, but I think the only way you can look past him is with a truly borderline once-in-a-lifetime run.
I've been in the press box, and there is huge recency bias because you're making the decision on the Conn Smythe. I think the vote has to be in like 10 minutes in the third period in a so-called deciding, you know, a supposed deciding game, not knowing what happens. And you feel the energy of some guy having a big night. And I've been there many times where it wasn't clear going into the last game, and it becomes clear, oh, okay, it's this guy. And I think that could happen with Tkachuk, as good as Bob has been.
Well, listen, when he gets onto the game sheet, it is always a massive goal.
Right.
Like, it's one thing if you're a human. Like, that's what I would say about Marchessault. You know, did he have the 6-1 goal the other night? Like, he's had, I don't want to say it's stat padding. He's been very good, and he's had big goals. But has he had, like, massive moments where Tkachuk is different? This guy...
dragged the team type of thing.
Dragged the team in terms of big, big moments. Obviously, the Carolina series last night again. You know, he did it against Boston. It just...
What's the goofier story 20 years from now when we're doing Overdrive 2043 from the Canadian Open at King's Riding?
Yes, yeah. I like it.
In Aurora.
Ryder Cup.
The Ryder Cup. The President's Cup from King's Riding. What is the goofier story that we look back on? Like Florida winning the Cup or Vegas winning the Cup?
I still think it's Vegas.
It's probably Vegas, right?
Vegas winning the Cup, and not only that, it's their second time in the finals.
Right.
I don't, that's a great question because they're both goofy.
Right.
They're both goofy, and like both of them are, one of them's going to win a cup for the first time. And I think it'll be Florida, though, because I think Vegas is going to keep this going. I think Vegas has established themselves as truly a crown jewel of the NHL, as much as I'm reluctant to get to that point.
So they might have five cups in 20 years.
I wouldn't be shocked. Florida, I wouldn't be shocked if they missed the playoffs next year at all. Like I don't think this is the beginning of a run for Florida, where with Vegas, this is a continuation of what they've done since day one. Like, this is almost the culmination of 6 years of going.
Right.
Florida, yes, President's Trophy last year, but prior to that, completely off the radar of the NHL. This year, not really on the radar outside of the Kachuk trade and the Maurice hiring and Brunette going. And then they get in and they go on this miracle run. So I think the answer is Florida.
When Bill Foley said that thing about we're going to win a cup within our first 6 years in the league, I remember thinking we have another one of these wacko owners
right.
in the league.
Yeah.
Now. Like, we have another nut bar.
Why do you think he arbitrarily picked six?
I don't know.
Like, not five or ten.
I don't know.
You know, like, why would it be six?
That's why it would be so magical if they won it this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it weird, though? Like, do you think somewhere in the back rooms in the meetings, like, George McPhee was like, okay, this is how the cycle's going to work. You need 3 years to do this. You need, so probably by that sixth year, I think, like.
It could be.
Somebody has given Bill Foley the six. He's not just going.
Maybe George in the interview.
Well,
says,
said,
I'll
yeah,
give you a cup
within
six
years, not five. I need a 6 year deal.
That's
like, maybe that's like, I don't know, but you don't just pull the number six out of thin air.
It's a random number.
But there's got to be.
Yeah, suck for 3 years, get draft picks.
Right. You turn
compete
over,
for the playoffs in the fourth, make the playoffs in the fifth, win
but
the cup in the sixth.
They've only missed the playoffs one time.
But I know. Didn't they make the cup final in their
first year?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, where was that? Was that promised in an interview somewhere? Like, George McPhee goes, we'll be in the cup final this year as he's putting the team together.
Possibly. I think it was more likely that Gary Bettman probably said, I'm going to give you a chance to be very competitive in your first year.
Which is fine.
The way they set up the rules, that Vegas team, now they had to do it.
Right.
But they fleeced so many teams.
That
so,
should be a 30 for 30.
Yes.
Of the panic that all those teams were in about not losing
side
deals.
But the one thing that I'll say, I think Vegas was ahead of the curve where the game was getting faster. And they drafted and grabbed in their expansion draft all fast players. That's the one thing, because I remember that first year, it was like, God, that team is fast.
Yep. Yeah, but that William Karlsson was never a speed demon. He's got 40 goals out of nowhere.
Well, he had eight or nine in Columbus.
Noodles, you were probably doing, I was hosting a Sens regional game in, I think, November of that first year. And Vegas was 500 or something, and they came into Ottawa. And it was the first time I really watched them because we were doing the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, these guys probably crap that are just kind of hanging around. And they beat Ottawa that day. I'm like, oh, they're not bad, but still, they're not going to be anything. And they were a lot.
You didn't believe it, though. Like, it's like Seattle this year. I kept thinking Seattle's going to drop off. Going to drop off. Like, Calgary's going to take them down or somebody in that Pacific. They just didn't drop off. They got 100 points. Mm-hmm. And Ron Francis done a really good job with that organization. Their minor league team has got lots of prospects. Like, they went to the, I think they're in the finals in the AHL. Like, they're doing a great job there. They got a good building, a good setup.
But if they went first, they would have got the Vegas treatment, which is amazing. It actually is more of a testament to what Francis and Seattle have been able to do.
Right, because people didn't do it.
The rest of the league were like, we're not going to do that again.
What will they ever do if they expand by 2 in 1 year, which there's been some talk about?
Where the hell are they going to do that?
It's coming. It's coming. Bettman's already saying, you know, we got all these.
I love this chatter about we got to try Atlanta a third time. Really?
No.
Me and him lived that. That was a sideshow. It's not working there.
No, it's
you
not.
You skate out and there's
no. No, but
there's.
I've read a couple pieces saying third time's going to be. A
but
charm.
You know,
here's why we got to do it. I'm like, go ahead.
Okay, I'll be that guy, and I'm not defending it, but I keep reading Atlanta is one of the places everybody's migrating to where people are the brain drain. People are leaving San Francisco. Francisco and leaving New York because of the cost of living, and Atlanta is one of the places they're all going. So yeah. Population, so on and so forth, time for another team. I'm with you. I think third, well, Jimmy, if you fail twice, you can't go back.
Jim, wouldn't it be incredible?
Jim, if they gave away free houses to people in the north to go to there, it's still not working, okay?
No, I agree with you.
Like a free house to go live in Atlanta.
This,
if you live in northern Canada, go down there, a free house, it's not going to work.
I will say this. Atlanta used to have an International Hockey League team there, the IHL, the Atlanta Knights. And they played out of the Omni Center. And we go down there and play. And they had a big crowd. They had a good team. It was an independent team, so they played... paid the players pretty well. The bar scene was great, Buckhead.
Atlanta's like,
it was a great city.
Massive.
Like, I, you know.
But it's been there.
Down there.
Imagine you're 75 years old, you live in Atlanta, and you see the third time the NHL comes through. And the first two, you're like, I couldn't care less the first two.
Yeah, hey, Rick, yeah. You want to join in membership this time?
It's like, really?
Nah, they're okay. Well, I just
it would almost be, it's got to be flattering if you live there. Like, you guys are going to come back again? Like, yeah. We pushed you out twice, and you're actually, you think we're all in this
well,
time.
Well, the Knights, it was a good, like, the uniforms were
sure,
ugly. It was weird. Like, I don't know. Did you guys like the uniforms? I thought they were weird looking.
I thought they were terrible.
I'll provide the segue to golf. I don't get in Twitter fights. One of the few Twitter fights I got in was I made a joke about the Thrashers, and Stuart Sink came at me. The golfer was a massive Thrashers
You're
fan.
You're kidding me.
And he started just firing at me, and then I kind of sarcastically fired back. And my only Twitter fight in life has been with Stuart Sink.
Stuart Sink.
Open champion.
Exactly.
Diehard Thrashers fan, apparently.
Some of the best hat tan action we've ever seen on Stuart Sink.
Outrageous.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was from the Atlanta area, and he was a big Thrashers fan.
Apparently.
There you go.
He was the one.
Yeah, he was. Exactly. The one guy that really wants him to return. James Duthie joining us here at the RBC Canadian Open. So there's movement here. Like, Connors is now in at 8-under, so he must have birdied 18.
He did. He missed maybe a 6-foot eagle putt. And which was the story. I followed him for a bunch of the back nine. I'm sure some of you, the listeners, viewers, watched it on television. He played almost a flawless round again, but it's like he had 15-footer after 15-footer that he burned the edge on. So I have two thoughts. One is, like, this course is perfect for him because if you miss the fairway, you're dead, and he never does. So there's no reason for him not to be in it Sunday, although O and I are always texting on Saturdays when Canadians who are in the hunt inevitably shoot 74 on Saturday. So let's hope that doesn't happen. If he's ever going to win a Canadian Open,
it's right now.
This is the perfect spot for it.
Right.
Like, Rory and Tyrrell Hatton are good, but, you know, Carl Yuan and... you know, Aaron Rye, and there's good players there, but it's not exactly Sheff and
but McIlroy's coming now.
Yep.
McIlroy's what are they doing to 18? Under. Are they just turning 18 into a 5-iron and a 5-iron and two putts? Is it every guy's yes. making automatic birdie?
Yes. And I don't know if they thought that people were going to try and drive it. I don't know if there's any chance they move up the tee box to see if any, but I don't know. There's no really temptation to drive it because guys are hitting 5-iron and then hitting a 4-iron or a hybrid up to the green. Now, I think there's something to that. It's fun when a guy can make eagle on Sunday
sure.
to win the tournament or get in a playoff.
There's something weird about a 5-iron in
weird.
Hand on a par 5 on the 18th hole.
I think the players think that hole is
They don't
weird.
Like the hole.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it what it is. I've heard it from multiple players, caddies.
They politely use the
like
word
it.
Quirky.
Yes.
Off camera, they say it's goofy.
Right. Just the way it sets up. And mm-hmm. and this is what you get at clubs where the members, it plays totally different. But you're talking about professionals.
But why not make it a par 4 and make it a par 71 maybe?
That's what I think maybe in retrospect. Mm-hmm. But to do that, you got to move the tees up. Because I think what had happened in the past, there had
been.
So
what are they going to do, Brian? Hit a 7-iron off at par 4 in the finishing
hole?
No,
you say. But if you
can carry the water.
If you move the tees up 30 yards and it's, you know, 300 to carry the
risk reward.
The creek, then it might get a little more interesting, right?
Right. And listen, the guys who aren't going to go for it will still say, all right, now I'm hitting a hybrid into a par 4 mm-hmm. with a massive green. Like, what are we doing here? But. It's the logistics of a hole that's been around forever where the members love it because of the way it sets up for them. I've played it multiple times. For me, it was like a 7-wood, 5-wood, which is weird. Like, you're not hitting driver. Like, these guys are not hitting driver on a par 5. On the tour, they don't like that. Like, let's call that what it is.
For me, it was five iron twice into the rough, chunk it over the river.
Yes.
And have 120 under the green.
That's one way of shot tracking
it. It's a masterful way to play.
You're
it.
A creative player.
I parred it both times.
There
money.
You go. You're a creative player. But, yeah, 18, it plays differently, but the green is massive. And once they're up there, I think it'll be great for action.
It'll be good theater on
it'll
that
be very game. Good theater, yeah. Which if you're a fan of the game, that's all that really matters. Mm-hmm. Who cares what these guys are hitting in? You want someone to possibly have an eagle putt to really do something or possibly puke it away and maybe bogey a hole they shouldn't. Then you're talking real theater.
Look, if players think the course is goofy or whatever, all of that will be forgotten if it's, you know, Connors and Rory on Sunday afternoon coming up 18. None of that stuff will matter anymore. So
right.
Let's hope we get something like that.
That's exactly right. And these are professional golfers who will figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like they'll figure it out as the weekend goes on.
Well, you saw that from yesterday to today. Now the condition, yep. The early late draw was a way better draw because the conditions were better yesterday morning and they were better this afternoon. This morning was miserable, but you saw the scores were lower today. Guys are starting to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be like 14-15 that wins it, probably.
Right, it feels so. And I think if you're a member at Oakdale, you have to love hearing that. Mm-hmm. Like because you don't want your course to get torched, and it's not going to.
No.
Like it's going to hold up really, really well. And listen, you got a bunch of names that maybe you haven't heard of before, but then you also got some big names and some big characters. Harry Higgs is 7-under. We love Harry.
Yeah.
Chesson Hadley spoke out yesterday saying he wants
to be
reparations for his loyalty.
How did Chesson Hadley, did he get an offer from Liv? Did he explain that?
I did not hear this comment.
Oh, you got to see. It was going viral yesterday. People were flabbergasted. Like, Chesson Hadley?
I believe that Chesson Hadley did not get an offer from Liv and just thinks that because he was loyal. Because he stayed, because he
had no other option. Yeah, I want to be paid for
like,
that.
Like, not everybody who's on the PGA Tour is going to get a check from Yasser.
Well,
because they're on the PGA Tour.
What's the exact comment, though?
So it was basically, I'm paraphrasing, but effectively, I was loyal to the PGA Tour, and I believe I should be
rewarded for that loyalty. He said that exactly, almost.
Yes, right. And here's the issue with bluffing it, because I would be right in there bluffing it. Even if Liv didn't give me an offer, I'd be calling on Monahan saying, they were going to offer me $15 million. How the hell would you know? The problem is, literally, you can know because the Saudis are now in bed with the PGA Tour, mm-hmm. and Monahan can just call up Yasser and say, did you give Chesson Hadley an offer? And he can say, absolutely
but
not.
But don't you think...
Of course we did.
It would bother you
can't
too.
Bluff it.
It would bother you, too, if you're a member and he's a good player on the PGA Tour. I don't believe he's won yet. But if all this happens and all they're talking about is making good with Rory and Tiger, they all must be like, are we just pigeons, man?
But
and maybe they are.
But that's the sad reality is because guess what? When they have these elevated events, you know who you are and you know who you aren't. If you're not in them,
right.
That's basically telling you
the guys I feel more sorry for. Look, Rory and Rahm and Scheffler, they're all going to get their money one way or another, right?
Right.
But like I told you guys, the Cam Champ who I played with, there it is. I would like to be rewarded for some loyalty. Okay, Chesson
Hadley.
I love it.
What
like
would Liv have offered Chesson Hadley?
I don't know.
Like 300K?
When people are posting,
and we're not trying to make fun of him. He's a good player. He's on the PGA Tour. He's a good player.
But yeah. Still, when people are tweeting Georgia Tech alum to let you know
who he is,
that's right.
That's
probably a sign that Liv Golf wasn't.
I told
exactly
you I played with Cam Champ.
Yes.
So here's a perfect example, a very middle of the road player, who has actually fallen off over the last year, but enough niche because he hits the ball so far.
Yeah, Nike guy,
and former winner
that Liv probably offered him. I didn't ask him, but probably $20 million or something like that. I'm guessing 10, 20, 30 million, somewhere in that ballpark when they were throwing out money. And I don't know why he said no. I should have asked him that, but I didn't. But he's fallen off the map a little bit, down to like 250 in world rankings.
Right.
And so he's sitting there going,
man,
I may never get back, and that was my golden ticket.
Right.
And maybe it was a sponsor who told him not to go, like you say. Maybe it was Nike or something.
Well, that's like Will Zalatoris is at the forefront of all this. You know,
he probably had a hunch thrown at him.
But there were reports it was 130. Back surgery, he may never return to form. Like he might never get back, and $130 million.
But
with a broom and a claw grip.
I saw somebody though equate it to the corporate world. Okay, if Brian Hayes gets an offer to host the biggest radio program in the States, owned by ESPN. No, ESPN's a bad example. They own part of us. Whatever. TNT.
Sure.
Let's say Brian Hayes gets scooped up by TNT.
And he would leave us in a heartbeat, by the way.
Right. But he decides not to go because he loves the Overdrive program.
Yes.
And so he decides, I'm going to stay. And then TNT, am I getting this right, buys TSN? Would that be right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is Brian going to say, hey, hey, I want the
right.
money.
Like you were going to give me this to
so,
go there,
so now,
but now I'm staying
so
on the TSN framework. Yeah.
Sean Redmond would be like, what?
Yeah, exactly. I think someone's listening. They're like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
So what happens if Chesson Hadley gets through to Jay Monahan's office and Jay answers the phone? Is he going to say, go stuff it, pal, and lose my number?
Yeah, it's too late now. He wants to please everybody. He's going to figure out. He will say, Chesson, by staying here, the purses are going to be such that over 5 years, if you play good golf, you're going to make more than you would have made by whatever amount Liv was going to give
you.
That's going to be a storyline.
Do you believe that these guys are actually going to have to pay a big fine to come back?
Well, here's
Koepka.
The really interesting thing.
I
don't at all.
No.
There's two stories coming out. It's really interesting. Sports Illustrated did a long story today about how Monahan has complete control. The PGA Tour has complete control, which is widely being reported.
Including LIV Golf.
Jimmy Dunn, I guess, did a report that said all this, that they will control LIV and they have control of golf, essentially.
Right.
Alan Shipnuck, who's writing a book about LIV, and it clearly has sources within LIV, says that Yasser told Greg Norman that LIV is continuing as it is for the next 3 years, that it will be completely funded as an alternative to the PGA Tour, that everybody's fine, and now... And so one of those stories is dead wrong.
Right.
And I tended to think that Shipnuck's dead wrong. And that Yasser probably, but did Yasser then sell out the guys who committed to him? Like, if these guys have to pay major fines to get back in the PGA Tour, Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, whatever, then Yasser's kind of sold out the guys who who got his foot in the door.
Right.
Is he going to say to them though, Koepka, Mickelson, if you guys want to go back, I'll pay the stupid fine?
Well, see, I think it's...
Because those guys are not going to say, I'm not cutting a check for $10 million to play in a tour event.
I think right now you have to say that if you're the PGA Tour. You have to say if you're Monahan, Jimmy Dunn, whatever, you're like, they're going to pay. I don't believe it.
They're not going to pay.
Because I think they'll take him to court, too, and say, you have no legal right to force me to do this.
And you know they're going to be in the same fields together because all the best players like Rory have just said, it's going to be better for golf. They're not paying a fine.
I don't believe they will. I think they'll ease back into the tour in a couple of years.
You could say, they paid a $10 million fine. Who's tracking the check and deposit and everything? And
the only way to make, the reason the players are all angry and they want these guys either to be suspended for a year or two or to pay a big fine to get back that they would take the money from, the players that are on the PGA Tour.
Right.
So the only way that you can please everybody is to sign, take $2 billion and say, okay, Rory, you're getting $100 million. Will Zalatoris, you're getting whatever.
Yeah.
Chasen... You're getting $500K.
Right.
Cam Champ, you're getting $5 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And he could do that.
Right.
But by all accounts, these guys are businessmen, too, and everybody says they just sign these blank checks that they don't. They do.
They are
somewhat accountable for them.
There has to be a paper trail.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, JD, have a great weekend, buddy.
You guys as well. It was great having you guys down here. Absolute rock stars.
Oh, this is a wild scene, man. It's really clearing out, though, pretty quickly.
I was following the golfers today. All anybody wanted to know about was Hayes, O'Dog. Yeah. And the noodles.
So we appreciate that.
Nobody cared about Connors, Rory, just you three.
That's what we want to hear. The most popular three-pack on the grounds here, the Overdrive crew. Mail-in Friday brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio tonight. Get to our best bets coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Taking Denver -3, game 4.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think the run, I think Miami has had a phenomenal run, but I think Denver is going to put this thing into overdrive here. I love the way they defended the other night. You know, Jokic and Murray are the best duo going at this point. You know, I expect Jimmy Butler, Bam to be better. That's, you know, the equivalent duo over on the Miami side of things, but I think it's go time for Denver.
Right.
I think it's a low number.
You know what? Screw it.
You're on it?
I'll take 500 for Miami.
You got
my
it.
Team.
Okay, there you go. You want the points? +3. Might
love
as well.
It. Yeah.
All right, you got it, man. I'm on Denver -3 tonight. That's it. Okay? That's all we're doing.
That's all
I want.
All
I'm not
going
to touch the game four of the cup final, although I think Vegas wins that. I said I thought it would be a split. I think Vegas wins game 5 back home. for the cup final. But don't have to worry about that right now. Today's best bets powered by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So a massive thank you to the RBC Canadian Open.
Thanks to everybody down here.
Everybody. Golf Canada, Oakdale Golf and Country Club. You got a phenomenal spot here. The hospitality's been amazing. So many people we've seen and talked to, stop and chats galore, selfies.
Yeah.
Everyone's buzzing up here. It's just been an awesome first 2 days, and the weekend's going to be amazing because you got some heavy, heavy hitters involved here. McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton, you got Corey Connors. The idea of a Connors, McIlroy.
Dream finish.
Dream finish, maybe mixing a Harry Higgs. Can you imagine a Connors, McIlroy, Harry Higgs?
What about Harry Higgs and Nicky Taylor in the second-to-last group?
I love that idea.
Connors, nice. McIlroy.
Yep.
Pendrith and your boy Carl Yao.
Yes.
In the third
last
group.
He might win it.
You know what? Tommy Fleetwood's 400, too. He's sniffing.
Give him some
Tommy
love.
He's
lurking. Two Englishmen together, Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood in the fourth last group.
You got Rosie around. You got Hadwin in 500. You got a lot of different options for a great, great weekend. So if you're coming up, you can have an absolute blast. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Our boy Nick.
Chrissy.
Our boy Chrissy.
Rick McIlroy.
Rick
you guys
McIlroy
are awesome.
And Chris. Stuff. Love it. Phenomenal job, JP. Everyone behind the scenes. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.